This is Monterey Bay Today from KAZU News.
With KAZU News, I'm Amy Mayer. UC Berkeley journalism instructor and historian Adam Hochschild is the author of American Midnight, The Great War, A Violent Peace, and Democracy's Forgotten Crisis. I spoke with him recently about what was happening from 1917 to 1921 and why that feels relevant today.
During those 4 years, roughly 1,000 Americans spent a year or more in prison, and a much larger number, shorter periods of time, solely for things that they wrote or said. Also during that period, there was a government-sanctioned vigilante group called the American Protective League, which went around rounding up and roughing up young men it suspected might be resisting the draft. And finally, there was press censorship on a huge scale. The Postmaster General was given the power under the Espionage Act, which was the law that enabled all this, was given the power to declare any newspaper or magazine unmailable. He essentially used that power to shut down 75 newspapers and magazines and to ban from the mail specific issues of several hundred others.
So what kinds of things were people doing to resist?
They did so to some extent at the ballot box. In the fall of 1917, the Socialist Party, which was the principal voice against the United States joining the First World War and suppressing anti-war feeling, was sort of a major impetus behind all of this repression. The Socialist Party earned 20% or more of the vote in 14 of the country's largest cities.
I did want to ask you specifically from within the administration. You talk about an assistant secretary of labor, Lewis Post, who really struck me as kind of like an insider hero in some ways.
Yes, he was one of my favorite characters in American Midnight. Post was a former progressive journalist who was the third ranking person in the Department of Labor. Through a fluke, he became acting Secretary of Labor. Something that was happening right at that time was that Woodrow Wilson's Attorney General, A. Mitchell Palmer, was aiming at becoming president in November 1920. He saw the promise of mass deportations as his pathway to the White House. So in late 1919, early 1920, he ordered Justice Department agents out around the country, principally in the big cities of the Northeast. They arrested some 10,000 people whom they thought were candidates for deportation. That meant people who were active leftists or radicals in one way or another, but who had never bothered to get naturalized as American citizens. So Palmer rounded up all these folks in what became known as the Palmer Raids. But there was a wrinkle. The Justice Department, his agents, had the power to arrest these people and to jail them. But deportations had to be approved by the Immigration Bureau, which fell under the Department of Labor. And Lewis F. Post, this quite good guy who was acting Secretary of Labor, did not believe anybody should be deported from the United States because of his or her political opinions. So he saved, we don't know the precise numbers, but it was many thousands of people from being deported.
After that deep dive from 100 years ago, how do you view the current political landscape in this country?
Well, I think the current political landscape is pretty grim because we have a president who would like to do all of these things. In some ways, we have a stronger resistance. One difference is that today, we have state governors like Newsom in California, Pritzker in Illinois, who are speaking out very vocally against the repression that's happening. That's one difference. Another difference is that I think there is a more widespread respect among people in general in this country and in our court system for the First Amendment.
That's author Adam Hochschild, and I'm Amy Mayer, KAZU News.